This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
We're going to be talking about regenerative farming and agricultural issues as they pertain to the Confederated Tribes this morning. My guest, Lisa Gunwellis and Catherine Minthorn. And that conversation will begin right after this. Stay with us.
Every second of every day, an older adult in the U.S. suffers a fall. It's one of the most pressing health concerns facing older adults, and it's why at Mackay Creek Estates, they're currently offering a free online fall risk assessment. In just 10 minutes, you can learn about your risk factors and ways to stay safe. The free assessment for Mackay Creek Estates is available at fallriskassessment.com. That's fallriskassessment.com.
And local. It's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour, and joining me this morning, two ladies who are going to be talking about regenerative farming as well as agricultural issues as they pertain to the Confederated Tribes. Joining me in the studio this morning, Lisa Gunwellis and Catherine Minthorn. And I appreciate you both coming in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And right off the top, what exactly is regenerative farming?
Regenerative agriculture is the process of restoring degraded soils using practices such as no-till planting, limited use of pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, adaptive grazing, basically sinking nature back in.
And how do you learn about regenerative farming?
I think I'm going to take this one. You know, I didn't know anything about regenerative ag. I was a candidate for the Board of Trustees in 2021. Right before the election, I ran into Catherine at DMB. She turned around. I didn't even know she saw me. She goes, "Okay, you've got my vote. But we've got to heal the soil." So I didn't really know what she was talking about. So I went home, got on YouTube, and looked up healthy soil. And in the meantime, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube about healthy soil, but I kind of ran into a Gabe Brown and his educational efforts on regenerative ag. And in the meantime, I had the opportunity when I got elected to be appointed to different commissions or committees. I had been on the Water Commission. And when I had learned what I had learned about regenerative ag on the game on the videos on YouTube was that healthy soil and water, you know, are pretty important to each other. And with climate change and drought, it all kind of really made sense. And so when I was appointed to the Water Commission through that board, I also jumped on the Farm Committee, which Catherine is now the chair, is the chair and has been the chair for many years. And so that began my journey into regenerative ag. And Catherine is should introduce herself as what she has done in her world, because that has led her to where I am at.
Well, as Lisa said, I'm currently the chair of the Tribal Farm Enterprise. I've been in agriculture and natural resources all my life, going clear back to childhood. I was in 4-H, FFA. I was actually in the first chapter in Pendleton, Oregon, that let women into the FFA chapter. So that was, I believe, was 1972 or 73. Prior to that, women were not allowed in the FFA chapters in school. So did that. I served the Umatilla Tribe on the Natural Resource Commission, which back then was overall everything, included the zoning on the reservation, range leasing, etc. Then kind of evolved on into, you know, working with the Tribal Farm Enterprise. Been on the Teachum Conservation District Board for over 10 years. Served as chair of that for many years. And now we have Toby Patrick that stepped up, and he's serving as the chair of the Conservation District. I work for a nonprofit nationally, and they're based out of Billings, Montana. It's Intertribal Agriculture Council. We do technical assistance and outreach for tribes nationwide, the 574 tribes nationwide. So I'm the Associate Director of Technical Assistance. We've got a lot of feelers out there, so there's always something going on, and the big drive for the last several years in Intertribal Agriculture Council has been soil restoration, you know, whether it be grazing lands, farming lands, forestry, but just the land in general, healing the soils.
And what does it take to be a regenerative farmer?
My opinion, an open mind. If you want to see small changes, change the way you do things. If you want to make major changes, change the way you see things. But just look at everything. You know, don't we can't be narrow-minded. We're in detrimental times. The soil is sick. It's in need of healing. Years ago, when I was on the Natural Resource Commission, we had a tribal leader at the time, Atwe Louis Dick. He had worked for the Forest Service, and then he was the big leader in natural resource for the tribe, and he brought me onto that commission. I was young then; I was probably in my late 20s, and I didn't realize at the time he was training me, but he was kind of pushing me and go do this, go do that. You know, I was like, no, I'm scared. I don't know how to do it. But he would send me to big meetings like National Congress of American Indians. He was the one that sent me to Intertribal Agriculture Council. I mean, these are national-based organizations, and he exposed me there to those resources. And that's where my true beginnings with agriculture in Indian Country started. But he had a saying back then. He said, we need cold, clean, pure water. And in order to have that, we've got to have healthy soils that can allow anything, the moisture, the rain that falls, the snow that comes, to be able to make it through that soil back into our aquifers.
And why is the CTUIR looking at regenerative farming?
Well, right now, I can't remember how many years that Kevin Hudson is our farm manager. I don't know how many years ago he turned into no-till farming. He went to, so that is helping. Not only it keeps the cover on the soil, which allows the soil not to be blown away in these big winds. You know, topsoil isn't made very easily anymore, and it's almost non-renewable. We've also had some serious flooding issues going back to 2020, and nearly every spring since that time, we have soils that are so compacted and not healthy enough to take in the moisture when it comes to us. Through a change in farming practices, we have the opportunity to capture all that rain with healthy soil that has the capacity to hold the moisture when it comes to us. And so also, I think we realized, the federal government realized that this cover cropping issue was growing, and so we have now and that we probably didn't have enough cover crop seed in the nation to implement with the farms that we're going to use, start using cover cropping, no-till farming, and maybe I can't remember the name of that, but we have now gone into a grant with a group called Go Seed, and we are going to be growing cover crop seed production, and we started this year. And I'm going to hand it over to Kathleen because she knows more about this issue.
Through USDA's Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities, Go Seed, and the Umatilla Tribe, and that's where I help through Intertribal Agriculture Council. Go Seed approached me and asked if I could help them partner with the tribes in the Northwest region. So reached out to several of the big land-based tribes in Oregon, Washington, Idaho. There were two tribes that, you know, that took the bait, I guess, if you want to say it that way, but it was the Umatilla Tribe and the Shoshone-Bannock Tribe in southern Idaho over by Pocatello. So those two tribes are partnered with Go Seed. Go Seed wrote the proposal, successfully received a $4.7 million award with two primary goals, you know, strengthening the economic and environmental sustainability of wheat farming and increasing the production and improved variety of cover crop seed available. in September of 2023, the tribe's farm enterprise planted about 400 acres of crimson clover, rapeseed, Parisian, Phacelia, survivor peas. The tribe and Go Seed cost-shared the purchase of a Case IH 550 40-foot no-till disc drill and will go into use for the 2024 spring planting. In case nobody knows what that drill is, virtually everybody in this region no-tills now, and that's still a lot of ground disturbance. This particular drill, the best way to describe it is like to take a knife and slice, you know, make a slice, and then there's a seed, the seeds will drop in, and then there's a wheel that closes it up, so there's virtually no ground disturbance. There's only, it's my understanding, four of these in our region around here, so it's pretty new technology and spendy.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and continue talking this morning about regenerative farming and agricultural issues that they pertain to the Confederated Tribes when we return after these words.
Time to get the deck ready for summer. Zimmerman & Company True Value can get you started and has expert advice to give you a hand. Here's Terry to tell you more.
We've got all the sanding equipment, all the stains and deck paints.
Do you have a recommendation of when is a good time to paint?
Yeah, when it's above 65 degrees and humidity is, you know, relatively low. I think across the board, you want to make sure it's in between that, like, 65 to 90 pretty much.
Zimmerman & Company True Value. Open 7 days a week on Main Street in Pendleton.
When warmer weather hits, the city of Pendleton wants to help you get out and enjoy our beautiful parks, attend social events, and gather with family and friends. The city of Pendleton can help you get there safely, and a lot of those services are free or only cost a few dollars. Go to the city of Pendleton's website, click the departments tab to find the link for the transit page, and go out and enjoy our community.
Now's the time to save big at the Wild Horse Gift Shop. Celebrate the 29th anniversary of Wild Horse Resort and Casino with a 25% discount on all Wild Horse logo apparel and merchandise. Hats, coffee mugs, shot glasses, magnets, keychains, and more with the famous Wild Horse logo. All 25% off for the entire month of March. The Wild Horse 29th anniversary sale is on now at the Wild Horse Gift Shop inside Wild Horse Resort and Casino, Pendleton.
We bring the newsmakers to you here on the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Catherine Minthorne and Lisa Genwellis is here this morning. We're talking about regenerative farming and agricultural issues as they pertain to the Confederated Tribes, and we're talking about regenerative farming. And what is CTUIR's goal with regenerative farming, and why is that important?
Well, go ahead.
Our soils are sick and they need restoration. If you look back into the history of the United States, go back to the Dust Bowl era, you know, in the Midwest, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, those areas that were rangeland, just like what we are here. And they were devastated, they were destroyed because that some lands just, you know, aren't meant to be farmed. And the USDA, and it wasn't the USDA back then, created programs for restoration to put those lands back into grasslands, rangelands, you know, to preserve that topsoil and keep it in place. We do in pretty intensive no-till farming here on the reservation. We have for a long time. Kevin Hudson has been a champion for that, over 20 years of no-till farming here. However, as we mentioned before, it's still ground disturbance. If you go out in the spring, summer, it's pretty, I find it really shocking to see, like this time of the year, here in the next few weeks, if it doesn't keep raining, when they go to start working the fields out there for dust to be flying. A lot of people don't think about that dust that's flying through the air. That's your topsoil. on average, oh gosh, this has been years ago, I was talking to an NRCS staff person, on an average, we lose about the width of a dime of topsoil per year. And when that topsoil leaves, it's not coming back, you know. So, you know, think about a dime, that's pretty thin. But you stack them up over a 10-year period, you know, 20 years, 30 years, you're losing a lot of soil. Regenerative processes is the human intervention there to try to recreate what has been destroyed and you know, is gone now. So what we would like to see happen is for our farm enterprise to be able to start regenerating organic matter again, to try to bring these soils back into health, to balance. All of it goes hand in hand. You've got your climate change. Climate change comes through what's happening on the surface of this earth. So when we don't have plants in place that are shading the surface of the soil to keep the soils from being so hot, those plants also provide, I forget what it's called now.
Carbon sequestration.
Carbon sequestration. We've got water infiltration. You've got to have those roots in place for that water to be able to get through the surface of that soil to make it down, you know, and keep traveling on down there for replenishing aquifers. It all goes hand in hand. And by farming conventionally the way it has, it's destroyed the capability of the soil to be able to do its job.
So how do you plan to reach the goal of, I guess, saving the soil? And, you know, you mentioned all these different things that are attributing to this, but how do you plan to, I guess, make a difference?
Well, we'll have to work through the farm enterprise, but I think, I think one thing that people should know is that to read the April CUJ, we have some news, some breaking news that'll be coming out in there. From my perspective, you know, I had the opportunity to go to two soil health academies. I actually had the opportunity to go to Gabe Brown's ranch, where he has stacked enterprises. He no longer uses USDA insurance, which is the norm around for farming around the nation. Their goal through Understanding Ag, which is their for-profit arm, and for Soil Health Academy, which is their educational arm, those are the ones that we went to. I went to, like I said, to Gabe Brown's ranch, and it's beautiful. He hasn't had to use any inputs, which are the fertilizers, you know, the pesticides, fungicides, and which, from my perspective, are health issues. You know, we know that Roundup is a cancer-causing agent. We spray it everywhere. Nitrates, we have nitrate pollution down in the lower Umatilla Basin. We probably likely have it here, maybe, but because our groundwater isn't as shallow as it is down in the lower basin, they are getting impacted by it maybe quicker. We know we have some issues on Wild Horse Creek. Well, that might be some of the coldest water coming into the Umatilla River. It has some water quality issues from nitrates. But being on the Water Commission, one point that I wanted to bring out was that basalt groundwater supports most wells on the Umatilla Indian Reservation. It's ancient water for the most part, and given the age, should be considered a non-renewable resource. So if we have a healthy soil and the water could infiltrate, you know, maybe we won't have to pull as much from these irrigation wells that we have out here. But from my end, it's the health issue as well. I just was diagnosed with a autoimmune disease. I'd been around farm chemicals all my life in the Yakima Valley, where there's more irrigated ag, orchards and row crops. But here, you know, we obviously see, you know, you see it, they're out there right now, you know, and as I wander the area and I look for where are our wildlife, where can they go? Where can I look for, there's hardly any coyotes I see running around. They got nowhere to go eat something now that there's a lot of voles and all that stuff. But pollinators, I think about pollinators, monocultures, you know, they don't allow for, you know, multiple species to live around here, I guess you could say. So it's protecting our wildlife, we need pollinators for everything. So It's the health of our people, health of our animals, health of our soils, health of our water.
And what has CTUIR done so far in the regenerative farming area?
Well, as we've said, we have no-tilled for years. The collaboration with Go Seed to produce cover crop seed, one of the biggest features for that particular program is that this cover crop seed will be produced in this area, so this seed will already be acclimated to this area. I did a cover crop plot. Lisa got to come out and look at it, but in doing that, I really had to search around to find the cover crop seed to plant. I planted orchard grass and a trifecta of mustard and crimson clover, and the clover and the trifecta of mustard I had shipped in from Utah, you know, the internet allows you to really search and find, you know, whatever's the closest, and this was 3 years ago. There was virtually nothing in this region, so that was the closest to Eastern Oregon type of seeding versus Western Oregon. So cover crop seed is hard to come by, so it's a brand new venture for the tribe, you know, to be a producer of cover crop seed.
All right, we're going to take another quick break, come back and wrap up our conversation after this.
Stop in and visit the Community Thrift Shop in downtown Pendleton. It's no ordinary secondhand store. This little gem offers a boutique experience at thrift store prices. Stop in, and stop in often, as the gently used donations hit the shelves daily. Your donations of gently used vintage and antique items are always appreciated. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 10. Follow Community Thrift Shop on Facebook, and remember, all proceeds from the Community Thrift Shop proudly support Heritage Station Museum.
Destination is on your bucket list. The Walla Walla Regional Airport can get you there with 101 one-stop destinations through Seattle. Is a Broadway musical in New York singing out your name, or laying on the beach with a margarita in the Mexican Riviera? Check out your bucket list destinations on alaskaair.com and be sure to enter ALW to start your trip from your home airport, where you always have free parking. Book your tickets today and fly Walla Walla.
Do you have a great business idea for downtown Pendleton? You could earn a $20,000 grant to fund your new business. Hi, this is Rob Zimmel, owner of Sarabella Winery, Pendleton. I was a 2022 grant winner, and I'm in my third year of business. Applying is easy. Just apply online today at PendletonUrbanRenewal.com by April 26. Realize your dream like I did and apply today at PendletonUrbanRenewal.com.
Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Been talking this morning about regenerative farming and agricultural issues as they pertain to the Confederated Tribes. And the Confederated Tribes held a free screening of the regenerative farming documentary Common Ground earlier this year. How did that come about and why?
To be honest, I had gone to a soil health academy at Gabe Brown's ranch in North Dakota, and he had announced that was in 2022. He had announced that there was going to be a follow up to the Kiss the Ground, but he couldn't break it. He couldn't break the news at that time. So just watching the news, like I do, I saw that was coming out. The Common Ground movie, a follow up to Kiss the Ground, was coming out, and so. With Catherine's ability with Intertribal Ag, she was able to get the Board of Trustees a free screening of the Common Ground movie at Tomaslik Cultural Institute. And so upon that free screening, it was approved that we would try to do that at Wild Horse Resort Casino at the Cineplex. And we were able to get it sponsored so that anybody who attended were able to watch it for free. And it was pretty well attended. We advocated with our youth to go, and we had some youth coming. We also had some students from Walla Walla Community College that are in an eco-ag class up there. Their instructor brought them in. And a number of people came from Tri-Cities and Walla Walla because this showing of this movie, Common Ground, which regenerative ag is not necessarily in this area. It's still much primarily conventional ag. So we had a pretty good turnout, I think about 200, 250 people, and we appreciated the feedback from all of them.
And what were the organizers, I guess, trying to achieve with the screening?
To show the other opportunities that are out there. I think probably Lisa and I see regenerative agriculture more as syncing back with nature again. If you talk to people, and I was this way for years, and most people are, you always hear, well, this is the way we've always done it. No, this is the way that you've done it because you saw maybe your grandparents do it. Most of us haven't had the luxury of having great grandparents and seeing what they did. But we're only one or two generations into being able to say this is the way we've always done it. So, our tribal membership, we are still gatherers. We still, every spring, the roots in the fall, in August, there's the berries and then there's salmon. It comes in cycles as well as the deer and elk. Bringing Common Ground into this area, we just wanted to be able to open eyes and let people know that there is a movement going on out there. It may not have hit this area real hard yet, but it's happening, and the Umatilla tribe is slowly but surely doing regenerative agriculture. We were really fortunate when we premiered the movie because Gabe Brown came live via Zoom and did a Q&A, as well as Eric Fuchs, who's the vice president of Soil Health Academy.
I have literally a minute left. Quickly, for our listeners who may be interested in regenerative farming, where do they go to learn more?
The internet. there's a lot of information on YouTube. Umatilla Tribe has information. It's all over the place. You just have to look.
All right. Do your research is what I'm hearing. Well, I appreciate you both coming in this morning. Lisa Gunwellis and Catherine Minthorn, my guests this morning. And that's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. Back again tomorrow.
For local news, sports, and weather. News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.